With me to 1 Corinthians 15. There's so much important things in here pertaining to the resurrection, but I think the main references in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is basically the first three or four verses, and it concerns the gospel. But if you read this whole chapter, it has some mighty good stuff in it pertaining to the resurrection. Now, we know that the lie that was told about Christ rising was told by the elders and was paid, and they paid off the soldiers that brought the report. Remember, they gave them great money to pay them off. But you know, Paul here, we're writing to the book to the church at Corinth. He said, "Moreover, brethren." But then down in verse 12, he said, "If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So it evidently seems that there's some people here in this congregation that don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And if you don't believe that Christ rose from the dead, why in the world are you doing in church this morning? Amen. Go live your life. It's of no use. Amen. Go live however you want to live. We have no hope, according to the scriptures. But just suppose that this is what really happened, that the disciples did come at night and steal his body, and then it spread abroad in those days that he was not a resurrected Savior, as he said. He didn't raise from the dead. And it was spread abroad that day that it was all a lie, the disciples deceived the world. And that was true. You got any idea what shape you'd be in this morning? What if there was no resurrection? We'd be the biggest fools in the world. Amen? We'd be, the scriptures would be unreliable. We couldn't actually go to the scriptures to see our hopes and stuff like that. I think 40 times in the New Testament alone, the name or the word resurrection is mentioned. So a lot of this we just have to do away with. We just have a Bible with no resurrection. You know, that's what a lot of religions has got. They don't have a resurrected Savior. Their leaders are still in the grave. Their founders are still in the grave. But ours is not. Amen. Amen. When it went to the tomb, it was empty. The scriptures tell us. It was emptied in a way that it was only through a resurrected body that it could have been left in the shape it was left, with a cloth laying just like he come out of it, like a locust comes out of its cocoon, I think it's what it's called. I remember a little boy, we'd go around and hunt them on trees and collect them for some reason, but that's the most amazing thing, is to see how that thing is split right down the back and it just comes out of it. Amen? A snake sheds? Why? We don't shed. Well, you get older, there are a lot of things fall off. Your hair does. There's just quite a few things that fall off when you get older. So, but I want to preach this morning on this thought right here. If Christ be not risen. Now, everything I got in my being relies on the fact that he is risen. My belief, my life, my future, my present state is the mere fact that he did rise from the grave. This church was established on that doctrine that he did rise from the grave. Amen. All the work and all the things that we've tried to do for our Lord during the last 36 years is based on the fact that we serve a resurrected Christ. Amen. The fact we got up this morning and washed these old bodies and got them all dressed up real pretty and brought them down to the house of God this morning is because of a resurrected Christ. And how in the world can a religion grow or a belief system grow without a resurrected Savior, without the founder doing exactly what he said? So I want to preach this morning on that thought. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read quite a bit, and I don't normally do that. I was taught in Bible school. Don't bore you people with reading. Let them read it yourself. But we're going to try this morning. It says, "Moreover, brethren." Well, we know he's talking to saved people. He referred to them as brethren. "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, what he's fixing to tell them there. And here's what Brother Jordan said a while ago. This is the gospel. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Who did he receive it from? He received it from Christ himself, and I'll show you that in a minute. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Amen. And that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's why this Bible is real important. Amen. That's why you want you a good personal Bible. Amen. You say, well, my Bible's like your Bible. No, this is my Bible. And that's your Bible. It's just something about your own personal Bible. Amen. I just know where things are at. I might not give you the scripture reference, but I know it's about middle ways of the Bible on the left-hand side at the top. Amen. And but some people can give you scripture references, and I can do that on quite a few things, but some things I can't. So Paul was writing here, and he said, this is what I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And it tells us on down here that Paul actually saw the Lord. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, not individually. That's pretty good witness right there. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. It appeared that the Lord appeared to Paul. Amen. And gave him directly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't hearsay. It wasn't something Paul had written or read. It wasn't something that came down through the grapevine. Evidently, the Lord, on the backside of the desert for almost 3 years, Paul got a direct revelation from God, from Jesus Christ himself. That's pretty good proof. Amen? It's better than what I had before I accepted him as Savior. But then look what he says. In verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, which he did. You can read it next. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Boy, that'd be a good statement for you to learn. You am what you am. Amen? You're nothing great. What you are is by the grace of God. What I am is simply by the grace of God. What Brother Vernon is and his knowledge of the scriptures is simply by the grace of God. You people in here have the ability to sing and to play instruments simply by the grace of God. Amen? He didn't owe us nothing. He didn't have to do nothing for us. But by his grace are you saved through faith and not of works. That'd be good, something good to keep in mind right there. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. You know why you do what you do pertaining to the Lord? God's grace. You know what gets you up and keeps you going? God's grace. You know what makes you do mission work and travel and help people that can't help themselves? Mission. Grace. What'll help you reach in your pocketbook and give to the Faith Promise Mission Program of this church so we can reach people around the world? Grace. There's a giving, they're talking about giving grace. That's why we do what we do, because of the grace of God fills our heart. Amen? And that's what Paul said. In other words, Paul said, the grace of God constraineth us. I believe it says in 1 Corinthians 5. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so we believe, and you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So evidently, it was a local church, a local assembly. He said, moreover, brethren, so he was addressing people that claimed to be Christians, and yet they didn't believe in the resurrection. And let me go ahead and serve notice on you this morning. You cannot be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection. That's the end of the sentence. Amen. You say, I believe he died on the cross. I believe he was put in a tomb. But I don't believe he rose. Well, then you don't believe the gospel. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a resurrection. And now what makes us different than other religious groups are, I guess everybody's religious in some way. They're worshiping something. But that's what makes Christians different. We believe in a resurrected Christ. I want to show you some things here out of this chapter. First of all, if Christ be not risen, the scriptures would simply be a lie. There'd be no truth to it. Amen? They'd have no power to them. They couldn't change your life. They couldn't direct your life. They could have no impact on you whatsoever far as spiritual, if Christ be not risen. 12 direct references in New Testament of the resurrection of Christ, and they 40 altogether pertaining and talking, using the word resurrection. If Christ be not risen, then the Bible would simply be not true. You couldn't rely on it. And if you couldn't rely on that part, how could you rely on the rest of the Bible? See, I don't quite understand people that correct the Bible. If you think that part don't belong in there, then what makes you not think the rest of it, this part don't belong in there? What gives you the authority to dissect the Bible and take the parts out you don't think need to be in there and put stuff in there you think needs to be in there? Somewhere you got to have a final authority, and that final authority in our life is this book right here. It ain't Brother Charlie. It ain't the leaders of this church. It ain't an association which we don't belong to. It is this Bible right here is the final authority in faith and in our own personal lives. You got to have a book. And this is the book. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. There's nothing wrong with listening to advice from someone that you consider be a lot more wiser than you are. But when it comes right down to it, if he contradicts what's in this book, I'm going with the book every time. Amen. I don't care how many degrees he's got hung on to his name. I don't care how long he's been in college. I care none. I don't care what kind of great work he's built. I'm going with the book. That's why you need to be a student of the Word of God. That's why you need to open this. You need to read this. You need to study this. You need to meditate upon this. You need to pray over it. Why? It's what will help you when the times get hard. The Holy Ghost of God will reach in there and pull something out you've read or heard preached and comfort your soul and strengthen your faith and lift you up when you're down and guide you and direct you when you're going through turmoil and trial and persecution. It's what's wrote in this book right here that'll get you back on track. Not some head shrinker downtown charging you $150 an hour. It's in the book. Do you need counseling? Yes. The Bible tells you that. In a multitude of counselors, there one is safety. Amen. You find safety in talking to people. But don't let them dominate your life like Jim Jones did, and them 915 people drank Kool-Aid and died. Them cults are more prevalent now than they've ever been. People are following a man and not following this book. You want to follow this book. And if you find a man that's following the book, you follow the man. Scriptures would be a lie. Is that a little baby? I didn't see that baby. She agrees on that too, don't she? But you couldn't believe your scriptures. Amen? And what we read about creation, you can't believe it. What we read about the resurrection, the crucifixion, you couldn't believe it. If you want to go in and start cutting things out, you'd come down to your Bible about that thick. Because there's a lot of prophecy about it. But I think my scriptures to be true. I take them literally. Amen. I don't spiritualize 90% of them like some folks do. But I take them literally. I believe if he said he rose from the dead, that's exactly what happened. It wasn't a spiritual resurrection like some teach. And I won't get into name calling this morning because I'm trying to be nice on Easter. Amen. Well, some teach it wasn't a bodily resurrection. Some teach it was a spiritual resurrection. Amen. And we'll stay there with that. But you know something else? If Christ be not risen, the Savior would be a fake. He'd be no different than all the rest of them. Who he said he was, is that he wasn't him. He come as an imposter. He come and he claimed to be the Son of God. He came to have come from the Father above. He come through the virgin birth and all that. That all would be a fake. And you know, if you believe that, if he be not risen, you'd be a fake. What do we go out witnessing and telling people about our Christ that resurrected from the dead and we received him as our Savior, and all kind of good things happened to us and our life changed, and amen. And a lot of us sitting here, that's exactly what happened when we accepted Christ. Things changed. Amen. My life changed. Amen. But what if he be not risen and you find out that he's not risen? Then what would you have your hopes on and your future based on and stuff like that if he be not risen? It's important to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Now, I've had the privilege of standing at the mouth of the door of the tomb where they said he was laid when I went to Jerusalem. But you know, they don't know exactly if that was where he was buried. God kept some things secret. Amen? You say, why? They'd build a big shrine there. They'd be going there to worship the dead, just like people go to the graveyard on sunrise service. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You say, I'm showing my respects. That's good. But don't go out there to worship to think that has some spiritual significance about something. They dead bones in them graves. What if you stand there and one of them come up? I bet that end the worship service. Amen. I respect the dead. When I go to a graveyard, I don't step on graves. That's the way I was raised, man. You did not step on a grave. And if you could very possibly keep from it, you didn't step over a grave. That's just the way we was raised. Amen. And I don't know what the deal is about that, but I still don't do it. And we was also raised to keep our loved ones' graves kept and kept up. And people today, I'm getting off course here. People today amaze me of how they even come to the funeral to show their respects to the dead, how they dress. You think they're going to a rock concert or something. See, back when we was young, even before me and Myra accepted Christ, when it come time to bury somebody, our family, our loved ones, our friends, buddy, we drug out the best we had to go to the funeral. We showed respect. We didn't hang around the graveside smoking a cigarette. I don't know what it was about it. It was something reverence about it. But boy, it ain't that way no more. I've done no telling how many funerals in my ministry, and people come in there dressed. I'm telling you what, it embarrasses me, and you come to show respect to your mama that died. See, if you believe in a resurrection, you realize that body that's put in that grave, that's born again, is coming up. What we do, we're going out there and planting them. It's like you're going to pick to plant a garden. In about a month, you're going to look out there and see if anything popped up out of the ground. Well, see, you need to be looking for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and also the second coming. That when you plant that loved one that's been born again and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming up. She's coming up. That grave's going to open. I wish the Lord let me hang around a few seconds just to watch that. But we might see that because it said the dead in Christ shall rise and then them which are alive. Boy, it'd be something going by Elmwood Cemetery and the rapture take place. And a tombstone hit your car window. Coffin lids are flying in the air. Look like a war zone. And then you just get a grip because you're finna go too. Leave the car right where it's set, or right where it's rolling. But Jesus Christ would be a fake. He says in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, he says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. proofs that could not be questioned, proofs that could not be proven to be wrong. He made sure that they knew that he had resurrected from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13, it says this: "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." That's true, if he be not risen. We sitting here this morning in vain. We have no hope if he be not risen. Amen? Bible says he was the first fruits of the resurrection. You say, what's the first fruit? He was the first one to go, and if you follow him, you're going too. In 1 Corinthians 15:5, we see that he was saw by Cephas, I think is how that's pronounced. 15:6, he 500 people saw him. 15:7, James and all the apostles saw him. And 15:8, he was seen by the apostle Paul. Infallible proofs, if he be not risen. You got a lot of witnesses that's telling a lot of lies. Something else you'll find there in 15:24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authorities and power." You know, if he be not risen, Satan has the victory. But if he be risen, Satan has been defeated. Satan, I don't know how much he knew about that. I don't think he knows how to intercept in future things in our life, but I know he can do it as we go along. But I don't know if he knew that he was going to come up the third day, or he didn't believe it. Because he did talk about it. He said, "You destroy this temple and I shall rise again." Amen. But I bet when he put that body in that grave, he was an unbeliever, just like a lot of them was. And he thought, "I have done away with him. Roll that stone, put that seal on it, and that's the end of him, and I'll have the victory to do as I please." But on the third day, you know how we got victory over the devil today? Is through the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes to you and reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. And he is raging right now. I mean, he is raging. This thing is going downhill so fast. The only thing that'll stop it is the resurrection of the bride of Christ, the saints of God. I mean, it is going at a speed. It'll be 77 tomorrow. In my lifetime, I've seen such a change that you would think I lived three lifetimes. And any of y'all in here got any age on you? Some of you people in here 50 years old never thought it'd be like this. Never thought that a man would get fired from telling somebody else, "God bless you." That happened on the news. I don't know if y'all seen that on Fox News. I think it might have been a police officer. I don't know who it was, but he got fired off his job because he used a religious quote. Amen? We're living in a time and age to where Christianity, we're God. Just the knowledge of God has totally disappeared out of society. Who'd ever thought of that? I never thought of that. Who never thought that? Who never thought that you'd be persecuted because you believed in Christ? You are. If you're living for Christ, if you're projecting a testimony that you're a born-again Christian, amen, persecution will come to you eventually. Now, thank God for our part of the country, it's kind of slow down in here because they think us rednecks ain't got no sense. And that's a good thought. Let them keep thinking it. Amen. But it's coming. It's coming. Satan would have the victory if he be not risen. If death was the end of all things, then Satan would have the victory. But because of the resurrection of Christianity, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ, we have the victory. Our bodies will be sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. That's in chapter 15, too, also. It'll be sown in dishonor, and it'll be raised in glory. It'll be sold in weakness, raised in power, be sold in the natural body, but raised in the spiritual body. Why? Because of the resurrection. Ain't no way in the world you can be a Christian. Well, you just can't be a Christian if you don't believe in the resurrection. And Paul evidently was having to deal with this here in Corinthians. Because he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So he's trying to clear this matter up. And then in 12, as I read a while ago, he said, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So evidently there were some in that congregation that didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That was the main quirk they had with the Pharisees. The Pharisees thought it did happen. The Sadducees didn't think it ever happened. And you don't read much about them. And if you study your Bible, you'll see the difference in the two. They had libertarians and Sadducees and Pharisees in those Bible days. And libertarians, you don't find them in one reference. That's in Acts chapter 6. But they have totally consumed Christianity. The liberal agenda. That's where they came from. It was Jews who was taken captive by the Roman soldiers and rulers and eventually set free after about 50 years, and they didn't want nobody telling them nothing. And so they called libertarians. That's where we at today in the average church. Preacher has no authority. Every man does that which seemeth right in his own eyes. Amen. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to sin and what not to sin. Give me no commands. And that's where we're at today in the average church. I thank God for this one. And that don't mean you're a dictatorship. That means you're trying to help and preach and help people by what's written in this book right here. You know something else? If Christ be not risen, the saints would be without hope. We would be without hope. We wouldn't be celebrating today or any Sunday if Christ be not risen. And thank God for Easter. People come out to church. Me and Miss Meyer and our family went to church sometime on Easter before I accepted Christ. Say, why? I don't have a clue. I really don't. I'm the biggest heathen in the world. But we'd go to church on Easter. Old dead preacher stand in the pulpit, wouldn't preach nothing. But we did go to church, and then we went over to Granny's house and hid eggs and hunted eggs. And I talked to Miss Ann this morning. I said, one of the benefits of getting old, you can hide your own Easter eggs. You just go out in the yard, hide them, wait 30 minutes, you ain't got a clue where you put them. So me and her next Easter, we're going to hide our own eggs, amen. There ain't a lot of benefits to getting old, but that's one of them. You can hide your own Easter egg. Saints would be without hope if Christ be not risen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 15, chapter 15, verse 12, you get old, you ain't got no sense either. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ, I like them ifs there. There's a lot of them. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, I preached the gospel now for 42 years. It'd all be vain. All the miles that's been traveled, all the hours of studying, all the meetings, all the camp meetings, all the revivals, all of that would be in vain. Every penny we send to a foreign mission field would be in vain if Christ be not. They over there with a social message rather than the gospel. You know what would help a third world country? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do need to be fed, and we want to feed them, amen? And we do. We ship containers out of here and everything else to try to help those who can't help themselves. But you got to have, with that bowl of beans, you need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to tell a mama how much God loves her when her little babies are starving to death. Amen? You sit and watch those documents on Ethiopia, breaks my heart. You say, well, he looks fat. No, he's starving to death. That's what happens when people starve to death. Them little babies' stomachs stick out like that. Why, they fixing to die. But you're going to go in there and preach the gospel and how much God loves you and how much God will do this and God will do that. And he's sitting there and about the next breath he's going to kill over. You got to help them materially before you can help them spiritually. I'd be foolish to stand up here this morning and preach to you about the resurrection of Christ and you all look like a bunch of skeletons that's fixing to drop over dead, and we have the ability to help you. Our government is putting money in the wrong place. Billions of dollars being spent to send a spaceship to Mars. Why are you hunting Mars? You trying to find a way out of this when the rapture comes? I'm pretty sure he's going to pass Mars on the way in. He's probably going to snatch you off of there on the way down. Amen? I mean, what's the great deal? You know what they're trying to do is disprove what this Bible says about the creation of man. When you can take that money and feed a third world country a good meal a day. You can drill wells. You can plant clinics. These entertainers and these ball players, I have a problem with them too. They have these shows on TV about their mansions and their way of living and their car collection. Why don't you help somebody somewhere and build something somewhere that'll help somebody? Amen. You don't need but one bed to sleep in. You don't need but one bathroom to in. I didn't say nothing bad. You need one kitchen, and you need one couch. Now, I ain't saying nothing about the cars. I'm about as bad as they are. We staying off the cars, amen? But could you not just go build a clinic? I'm not a big Oprah Winfrey fan. Never have been. But at least she done something with her wealth.
That's right. Yeah.
She did do something with her wealth. She started educating girls and making sure their medical needs were met. Amen? Saints would be without hope. That's why we do what we do. Why? Because of the resurrection. That's why we meet when we like we do, because of the resurrection. That's why we go build things, because of the resurrection. That's why we take mission trips, because of the resurrection. That's why we got an orphan home in Honduras with about 160 people in it, because of the resurrection. That's why we're working on a container to ship to Honduras in May, because of the resurrection. That's not a social ministry. That's a spiritual ministry. And it all is based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why a lot of folks that don't have the resurrection in their religion don't do nothing except get bigger themselves. And I've told you this, and I'll tell you again for the sake of our visitors and you people, God never created nothing that was not for something else. You understand? You'll never see an apple tree eating an apple. You get where I'm going? Your fruit is not to benefit you. Your fruit is to benefit others. God made grass, green grass, so a black cow can eat it and give white milk. Figure that out. I'd keep you tied up for a few days. That is a weird... And if a cow eats bitter weeds, guess what that milk's going to be? It's going to be bitter. Did any of you farm boys know that? How many farmers in here knew that? If they will, it'll be bitter. Because I was raised in the country, and you made sure that cow, that milk cow didn't get in a bitter weed patch. Because the milk would be bitter. Now, figure that out. We'd be without hope if Christ be not risen. And you know something else? Sinners would still be in their sin. You'd have no way of forgiveness. You wouldn't have a new life. You'd have the old life. Way back down in the history of your life where you stopped and considered your relationship with God and you bowed your head and accepted Christ. I was with one of the church folks the other day, and he said, "I got saved right there in that parking lot." I like that. Do you know where you got saved? I can take you right now to Grace Baptist Church in Five Points West and take you right into the building and kneel right down at the altar where I accepted Christ as my Savior. It ain't a hearsay. It ain't Mama told me. I accepted Christ as my Savior right there. That's when I throwed the towel in and picked up His. And buddy, they've been a change. They've been a difference ever since. I'm like Jesus said He was there in Acts. Many infallible proofs. People knew me prior to salvation. You could never question whether or not I got saved. Miss Kathy knew me prior to salvation. Miss Diane did. She's not here this morning. I don't think there's nobody else here. They'll give testimony that I've been born again. I give testimony that Miss Kathy's been born again. Why? Many infallible proofs. But you know, if Christ be not risen, you have no hope. But I want to tell you, by the authority of this book right here, He is risen. Amen. Up from the grave He arose. Amen. Amen. Appreciate Brother Jordan singing those songs. Because of the resurrection, there is hope for the sinner. Because of the resurrection, we can go out and witness. Because of the resurrection, we can invite people to our church. Because of the resurrection, we can get up and get ready to preach and sing these songs of joy. Brother Daniel was with us last week, and all he can brag about is a song service. He said, them people sing. Now, if you go over to his daddy's church, it's about twice or maybe 2.5 times bigger, longer than this church. It ain't no wider. Probably ain't as wide. And everybody sits in the back, which I never understood that either. You go to a ball game, you want on the 50-yard line at the lowest bleacher you can get in. Come to church, you want on the furthest back row you can find. That's why I like the way this one's built. You close whether you want to be close or not. We kind of forced it on you. It's 38 foot from here to that where Miss Kim's sitting. So I'm right in her face where she wants me to be or not. Amen. Sinners would be still be in their sin. I'd be 77 tomorrow and I'd still be in my sin. I'd be coming closer and closer to the time of death and have no hope whatsoever. There'd be nothing I could do about it. If you hear this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. There is a resurrection. And the power that's in that resurrection will bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ in His grace and mercy and long-suffering and save your soul and give you a brand new life. I went for several years thinking that I was beyond being saved. I didn't have a clue about the grace of God. But He specializes in us kind of people. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure you're saved, I don't believe in recapping either. You go to a time when you bowed your head and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And if you got that settled, that's where it stays. You say, well, I've done this and I've done that. That has nothing to do with salvation. People saved and do just as bad as people that ain't saved if they get away from God, get away from this book, get away from Christians, God's people. But go to a time in your life when you and God convicted you and you bowed your head and asked God to forgive you. And then you'll have the power of the resurrection. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection gives you what you need to serve Him. That's what the power of resurrection does. It'll help you get up when you've been knocked down. It'll help you be encouraged when you've been discouraged. It'll help you gather it up when you've been hurt, when you've been disappointed, when your heart's been broke. The power of His resurrection. When you have to use a walking stick to get in the pulpit, the power of His resurrection. Y'all have set me in here in wheelchairs. Y'all remember that years ago? I couldn't walk. I think it was Bubba and Brad, if I ain't mistaken. Picked me up and set me right there, and I preached on our 25th anniversary. I ain't got a clue what to preach. I was more concerned about walking than I was preaching that day, to be honest with you. You say, what does that, the power of his resurrection? What makes a missionary quit his job, good paying job, sell his house, pack up his family, and go halfway around the world to tell somebody about Jesus, the power of his resurrection? Amen. Go into a neighborhood where he's not liked, he's not received, he's not accepted, face danger day and night, just to tell one soul about Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection. That's what does that. Amen. So you understand it? No. But then people don't understand what I do. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Brother Jordan, would you come and...